help and blessing. If you might just want to sort it out before we seek the Lord in prayer. Let us all pray. Our loving God,
our gracious Father in heaven, we do come into thy presence, O God, the Sabbath morning. We come with thankful hearts, and we come with praise in our lips and in our souls, and we come to thee today in the Saviour's precious and worthy name. And Father, we thank thee afresh today for all of thy goodness and mercies to us. Lord, for every good and every perfect gift, for all the temporal mercies of life, for thy care, thy provision, and thy preserving hand upon us day by day in our life, and our going out and our coming in, and enabling us, Lord, to gather here in this fashion in the house of God today. And we come to praise thee and to thank thee for all thy mercies. We thank thee, Father, for the wonderful gift of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. And Father, we thank that Christ was without sin, that he was without blemish. And Father, we thank thee that he bare our sin in his own body to the tree. Thy word tells us that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And we praise thee and we thank thee, O God, that with his stripes we are healed. We thank thee for that salvation that he purchased, that he provided for sinful man when he suffered and bled and died and cried out upon the cross, "It is finished." We thank that there upon that cross he offered a once for all a sacrifice for sin. And O God, we come to thee in the Saviour's name today, the one who is the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And Father, our prayer is today that our worship and our praise would be acceptable, O God, in thy sight, not through any merit of self or of man, but in and through the precious and the worthy name of thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And Father, we just thank thee today for health and strength, for freedom and liberty to gather here in this house in this fashion. We thank thee for the good weather that thou hast given to us and given to the farming community. And Father, we acknowledge that all these mercies come from the Lord. We thank thee for the beauty of creation around us. But O God, we thank thee and we praise thee most of all for the glory and the beauty of thy Son, Jesus Christ, who is the altogether lovely one. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless our coming together here today in the house of God. Lord, our prayer would be that the thoughts of our heart and the words of our lips, O God, would be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. We pray, O God, that thou wilt take our hearts and minds of the things of time and sense today, and that thou would fix our hearts and minds upon the Lord and upon the glories of his grace and of thy mercy, O God, toward us. And Father, we do thank thee for all who have been able to gather with us in thy house today, for young and old gathered here today, and we pray that thou would bless every head bowed before thee, O God. We thank thee for every Christian in the meeting, each one who is saved, who can rejoice in sins forgiven. Bless your people. Lead thy people on with thyself. Help us to be strong in the Lord and in the power, Lord, of thy might. Help us to be conformed more and more to the image of Christ. Help us to die more and more to self and to sin, and that others might see that we belong to the Lord, that we have been to the Savior. For any, Lord, going through times of trial and testing, Lord, strengthen them, encourage them and lift them up, we pray of thee, and bless them and strengthen them by thy power. For any, Lord, who may be cold at heart, give that restoring touch that comes from the Lord. And for any with us today, still unsaved, unconverted, do speak to them. And Father, we pray that even today they will come and bow the knee and put their faith and trust in the Lord for salvation. Lord, visit this house today with salvation, we pray. We thank thee for the glorious message of the gospel, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We pray of those today unable to join with us because of age and sickness and infirmity. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless them, that thou wilt encourage them by the grace of God and strengthen them. For those who have been bereaved in recent times, Lord, comfort them and be their helper and be their strength, O God, we ask. And Father, we thank thee for our Sunday school this morning and for help given to the boys and girls, and bless the teachers and all concerned, encourage them, Lord, in this work. And we do pray that thou wilt bless every member of our Sunday school with salvation and lead them in the ways of the Lord. Remember the children's outreach as well. We think of the children's missions and Bible clubs planned for the summer season. May your blessing be upon them. And we pray that through these labors, many children in the community will be reached with the word of God and be made wise unto salvation. Remember the ongoing outreach work from our church and the online ministry as well, Lord. And wherever thy word is sown far and near, Lord, bless it. You have promised, O God, that thy word will not return unto thee void. Remember also thy servant, the Reverend Power and his wife, as a labor for thee at this time down in Tavistock and Devon. Lord, bless them there at this time and encourage them as they labor there throughout the month of June, and make them a blessing, Lord, to that congregation, we pray. Father, bless our land, O God, today. Have mercy, Lord, upon it. Lord, we have turned away from thee as a nation. We have sinned against thee. We have rebelled against thy word and thy laws and thy day, O God. Yet, Lord, we pray that thou wilt have mercy and that thou would turn our land toward thyself in days of revival and in days of reformation, we pray. Bless wherever thy word is faithfully proclaimed today, north and south of the border on this island. We think of the mainland of Britain as well. Bless every faithful servant of God. We thank thee that thou hast promised that there is a remnant. And Lord, where thy people meet faithfully around the word of God, bless thy cause, build thy church, extend thy kingdom. And Lord, may they be rejoicing today over sinners coming to the Lord. Remember, Lord, our king and the royal family. Have mercy, Lord, upon them. And may the light of thy word and the light of the gospel shine into that household and into those hearts. And may they be made wise unto salvation, guided by thy word and by thy truth. And again, for those that would rule in our land and our nation, have mercy, Lord, upon them. We pray that the light of thy truth and the light of the gospel will shine into their hearts, that they might turn from sin and darkness unto God. And those especially who profess thy name, give them grace to stand for thee and to do what's right. And Lord, those that would seek to promote that which is contrary to the word of God, we pray, Lord, that thou would bring their plans to nothing, O God, we ask. We pray for our missionaries, O God, today, that thou would bless them, those that labor at home and those that labor in far-off countries across the globe. Bless them, be with them, and encourage them. Remember especially the Kirkscaddon family as they prepare soon to leave for Uganda. Go with them, go before them, and bless them and use them for the glory of thy name. Bless us now in the singing of thy praises, O God, in the leading and the reading of thy word in this meeting. Give help. Bless the preaching of the word of God. Remember our time around thy table today as we would remember Calvary and break bread, Lord. We pray that thou wilt draw very near, and that, Lord, thy blessing will be known in every heart and in every life. Do us good now, we pray. Continue with us, O God, we ask. For we do pray all these things in the Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen. Returning again, please, in our hymn book to the hymn number 42 in your hymn book, the hymn number 42, on the page 192. O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand have made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power through all the universe displayed. 42 is the hymn number, on the page 192, standing as we sing and singing it out with all of our hearts. As we sing. Bible with you this morning, would ask you to turn, please, to the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter number 50, and we're reading just from the verse 22 of that chapter, going down to the end. Then also would ask you to turn over to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter number 11, and we want to read also the verse number 22 of that chapter. So if you'd like to mark those two passages in your Bible, reading first of all from Genesis chapter 50, verse number 22, and then turning over to the New Testament book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter number 11, and the verse number 22. We'll read first of all from Genesis chapter 50, and the verse number 22. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years.
Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you, and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from thence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. And turning over to Hebrews chapter 11, and just one verse, the verse number 22. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 22, and the Lord add his blessing to this public reading of God's eternal and infallible word. I want to welcome everyone this Lord's Day morning to God's house. It's good to see each one gathered with us this beautiful sunny Lord's Day. Good to see you. And we pray as the sun shining outside, and the sunshine of the Lord's grace will be shining and ruling and reigning in your heart and soul today. If you're visiting with us, we extend you a very special welcome. Trust that you'll feel at home amongst us here today. And if you're a believer, may you be encouraged today in the things of God. And if you're not saved, oh, that today you take that step of faith and put your trust in the Lord Jesus for salvation. To those also maybe viewing online, we thank you for joining with us. And we pray God will bless you today and minister to your needs through his precious and holy word. The announcements are as follows. Immediately after the service this morning is the Lord's table. That's open to all who are saved and walking in fellowship with the Lord. You don't have to be a member of this church, but if you know and love the Lord as Savior, and the Lord invites you to remember his death in his own appointed way. 6:30 tonight, the evening prayer meeting. We encourage as many as possible to remember the time of prayer, and that'll be followed at 7 o'clock by the evening gospel service. I belong to bring God's word. Pray for that meeting. Plan to join with us and invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's word. Being the first Sunday of the month, is building fund offering. And the building fund offering for the month of May came to 665 pence, for which we thank you sincerely in the Lord. Tomorrow afternoon, meeting here at the church car park at 1:45, quarter to two, just for the door-to-door outreach. We want to do some outreach over the month of June. Pray for that. If you're able to join with us, we'll be delighted to see you meeting here quarter to two at the church car park tomorrow afternoon. Tuesday night, 8 p.m., the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. Trust as many as possible will gather, and we'll belong to bring God's word. And do remember that. Encourage as many as possible to come along. Thursday night, 8 o'clock, in our Dungannon Church, there's a farewell service for the Cuscadden family going out as missionaries to the land of Uganda. Pray for that meeting. If at all possible, do go along and support it. Friday morning, 11 a.m., is a monthly open-air gospel witness in the Diamond there in Enniskillen Town Centre with our brother Colin and myself. Pray for that. And if you're in the town shopping, whatever, do come along and join with us just for half an hour Friday morning at 11 a.m. Friday night, 7:30, is the church barbecue. Do remember that. If you haven't yet, put your name on the sheet. I suppose today's the last call for that. So do put your name on that sheet if you haven't already done so and are tending to go. Just the number in your family group as well. It's at 7:30. It's at Castle Archdale group campsite area. If you're not familiar with that, as you go down the main entrance of Castle Archdale, just before you come to the fork in the road about a third of a mile in, there's a concrete lane in to the left, and you just, and through the trees, go up that concrete lane, and there's a purpose-built campsite barbecue area. We had it last year, an excellent venue, and there'll be games and that for the children. And again, anyone with any dietary needs or food allergies, just put that on the sheet so we can cater for you. And if the ladies could bring some tray bakes as well, that'd be appreciated. Price is £5 per adult, pay on the night. All children are free, and the Reverend Mrs. Baxter are doing the cooking for that, and they always do a good job. And any proceeds from that goes to missionary work in Nepal. So we pray it'll be a good night of fellowship. And trust as many as possible come. You're welcome to bring friends and family, neighbours, whatever. All are most welcome. Next Lord's Day, the 11th of June, Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m. morning worship service, 12 noon, the evening gospel service at 7, both preceded by the half hour of prayer, and I belong to minister God's word. Monday night, the 12th of June, that's just 2 weeks' time, is the ladies' fellowship meeting, the final for the spring season. That's Monday, the 12th of June. And the speaker is Mrs. Gillian Middleton, so do remember that, from our Tully Vallon congregation. That's Monday night a week. And then also from Monday night, the 12th, to Friday, the 16th, at 6:30, there's a children's Bible club organized by the Bethel Children's Crusade in Tresna. Do pray for that. Do make it known to the children in the area. And if you can help in any way, do contact our sister Gillian. Do be much in prayer for that. Friday night, the 16th of June at 7 p.m., there's a youth sports night and barbecue organized by the Youth Fellowships in the West. The venue is the Bonacre Complex in Irvinstown. All young people are most welcome. Our annual prize giving, Children's Day services, is a fortnight from today. That's the 18th of June. Morning, 12 noon, the afternoon, do note the change of time, is 3:30 p.m. And the Reverend Graham Middleton will be speaking. The boys and girls will be taking part. Make that known. There's wee invites there. I encourage you to take those, give them out, and do all you can to invite friends and family in to that special occasion in our church calendar. The Trinitarian Bible Society are having a conference on Wednesday, the 14th of June, in the Vic Rynne Conference Centre in Lisburn. It's open to all. The admission is free, from 10:30 to 2:30. So if you're able to go along, do support that. Our Bethel Sunday School outing is Saturday, the 24th of June, to Carnifunnock Country Park and Larne. All Sunday School children going with family and guardians, please contact our sister, Mrs. Gillian Moore, as soon as possible. Do please pray for the Loch Earn Convention from July the 30th through to August the 6th. Speakers, Dr. Douglas, the Reverend Pollock, Reverend Armstrong. Again, there's invites for that on the table in the porch. And then on Wednesday night, the 28th of June, our committee have planned the annual tidy-up around the church, meeting here at 7:30. Trust as many as possible be able to come along, men and women alike. Your help will be greatly appreciated for that. That's Wednesday night, the 28th of June. There are prayer magazines there for the work of Fee and Missionary Endeavour in Africa. Get a copy as you leave, and also Let the Bible Speak. Magazines are available there. Those are all free. Take those with you. And then do you also please pray for our brother, the Reverend Timothy Omerod, the Presbyterian Friday night accepted a call to our Ballygowan congregation. So pray for him as he goes there to take up that charge in the will of God. That's all by way of necessary announcements. Returning to hymn number 306. 306. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord, or to defend his cause, maintain the honor of his word, the glory of his cross. We'll keep our seats while we sing. We don't take up an offering, but do remember the offering plates as you leave. We'll just remain seated for the singing of the early part of this hymn, 306. Let's stand for the final verse in hymn. Turn again, please, to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, to Genesis chapter 15. Do make yourself comfortable for the meeting. If you're too warm, don't be afraid to take off a coat or jacket. I don't want anybody fainting or passing out. It's warm weather. We're not complaining. It's good. But do make yourself comfortable for the rest of the meeting. And with God's Word open before us, let us bow together, please, in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us already. And Lord, we pray that Thou would bless us now as we continue on around Thy precious and holy Word. We thank that Thy Word is truth, that it is forever settled in heaven. And Lord, we pray that Thou would own and bless and use Thy Word and apply it to our hearts today, as Thou would see our needs to the saving of the lost, to the sanctifying of the saints, and to the glorifying of Jesus Christ. Pour out Thy Spirit upon preacher and upon congregation alike, and have Thy way in all our hearts and lives. Amen and amen. Our text for today is the words of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22. It says, "By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones." Now today we come to our final message in our present series in the life of Joseph. Now there are many commendable things that we could say about Joseph's life, many commendable virtues in his life. But the matter really that stands out most of all, if you like, is his faith. The Bible says, "The just shall live by faith." And my every child of God has faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And their Christian life of faith is one of dependence upon the Lord and leaning upon the Lord. And that was most definitely the case with Joseph. And bearing witness to Joseph's faith, our text says today in Hebrews 11, verse 22, "By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones." And whenever we think about Joseph's faith, it must be said and it must be underlined that his faith was all due to the grace of God in his life. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." And anything that Joseph was able to do or accomplish by faith was due to the grace of God and the working out of the grace of God in his life. And whenever we come to these final verses in Genesis chapter 50, also part of our reading today, these words, if you like, really record the final chapter, if you like, the final events in Joseph's earthly life of faith. And in this record, there's much to inspire, I believe, the faith of all God's people. And considering then this final testimony of Joseph's faith, there are three things I want to set before you today. Notice, first of all, here the character of Joseph's faith. Look again at verse 24 there of Genesis chapter 50. It says, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." And you see there from those words that Joseph's faith was an open faith. He bears witness here of his faith through those words. For he tells his brothers here that God, his God, the God of heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that his God would visit Israel, that God would visit them as a people and would bring them to the land of Canaan out of the bondage of Egypt one day. His faith here was an open faith. He does not hide his faith. He makes known of his faith before his brethren, before his brothers and wider family circle. He does not hide his faith. Now we can say in this instance that Joseph is not like Joseph of Arimathea, whom we read about in the New Testament. For he very much was a believer, had a secret faith for a large part of his life. He kept his faith hidden. And only in the latter part of his life did he come out and stand for the Lord. But this was not the case with Joseph. He has an open faith. And believer, you and I are to be like Joseph. We are to let our faith shine and be known before others. We're not to hide it under a bushel. The Bible says, "Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." The hymn writer says, "Speak just a word for Jesus. Tell how he died for you." And as we go about our business day by day, wherever it is, we are to be an open witness for the Lord. We're to let others know that we belong to Christ. We can say further here that as we think of the character of his faith, that his faith was marked with certainty. You look at verse 24 and verse 25 of the chapter. You see how twice over he makes this statement in both these verses. And it really shows you the certainty of Joseph's faith. He says, "God will surely visit you." And there you see that Joseph was sure and he was absolutely certain about God's purpose and God's word for the children of Israel. His faith was a certain faith. There was no buts here, no maybes here, no ifs here. He says, "God will surely visit you." And again, Christian, there's a lesson there for you and I in all of our witnessing for Christ and in all our service for God, dear believer. You too can be sure. You too can be certain about God's word and the truths of God's word and the great purposes of God. You think of the words of the Apostle Paul as he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and the verse number 12. He says these words and he speaks with great certainty. He says, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Paul was sure, he was certain that the Lord who had saved him would also keep him. Think again of the words of the Apostle John as he writes in his first epistle. He says these words, "He that hath the Son hath life." And again there, John is very definite, very certain that whoever that person is who repents of their sin, who puts their trust in the Lord Jesus for salvation, they are sure of heaven. "He that hath the Son hath life." And my, we're not to, as it were, witness and serve the Lord with ifs or buts or maybes, no. Believer, you can be sure and certain about the Word of God and the purposes of God's Word. My speaking about the certainty of God's Word, highlighting that very fact. Martin Luther, the Protestant reformer, said, "Here I stand, I can do none other." He was certain, he was sure of the Word of God. We can say further here regarding the character of Joseph's faith that it was a God-honoring faith. Look again at what he says in verse 24 of the chapter. He says, "I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." And you see here that Joseph, he honors God by telling his brothers that God would visit them, that God would bring them out of the bondage and the servitude of Egypt, as he had spoken, as he says, as he had sworn, he says, which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob.
And now this was a God-honoring faith. And it has been rightly said that true faith always honors God. And he was honoring the Lord here in the words that he spoke. Believer, you and I live in an evil world where God is being dishonored more and more around us in society every day. But we're not to be like the world. Believer, always seek to honor God. Always seek to honor the Word of God. And all your witnessing for Christ and all your service for God. Dear Christian, always maintain a high view of God, a high view of the Word of God. In doing so, God will honor you and God will bless you. For he says, them that honor me, I will honor. And then further about the character of Joseph's faith here, we can say it was a persistent faith. It was an enduring faith. Hebrews 11 verse 22 says, he gave commandment concerning his bones. What was this command? This command was that long after he died, his bones were to be carried up out of Egypt into the land of Canaan. Look at the latter part there of verse 25 of Genesis chapter number 50. He says, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from thence. And my, despite the passage of time, despite the passing of years, Joseph, he believed that God would keep his word. His faith did not give way to unbelief. It was a persistent faith. It was an enduring faith. And sadly, there are many Christians today, and they stop praying and they stop serving the Lord because they do not see immediate results there and then. Oh, Christian in the meeting this morning, don't let unbelief stop you, dear Christian, from praying. Also, child of God, do not let unbelief stop you from serving the Lord and doing the will of God and being a witness for him. The Bible says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, the Bible says, if we faint not. Oh, Christian, don't let unbelief hold you back from serving the Lord and doing the will of God. Don't let unbelief stop you from praying and calling upon the Lord. Follow the example here of Joseph. Yes, we see the character of Joseph's faith, but not only the character of Joseph's faith. Notice secondly today, notice the effect of Joseph's faith. What did it lead to? Well, you'll see here that Joseph's faith, it leads to a specific command for his brothers and for Israel. Look again at that command there at the end of verse number 25 of Genesis chapter 50. He says, and ye shall carry up my bones from thence. And the command was to bring his bones after he had died up out of Egypt to the land of Canaan. Here we see, dear people, that true faith, it always leads to action. It always leads to works. James 2 verse 18, James says, I will show thee my faith by my works. You think back to the motto of the Salvation Army and its founder, William Booth. What was its motto? There was two S's on the uniform of those that were enlisted in the Salvation Army, and it was this: save to serve. Save to work for the Lord. And Christian, can I say to you this morning, true faith, it means that you are saved to serve the Lord. You are saved to work for the Lord and your day and generation. And this is something we're to do joyfully. This is something we're to do willingly. The psalmist says, serve the Lord with gladness. And Joseph's faith, it led to a specific command. It led to works, to things being done. We see something else here about Joseph's faith, and it's a fact. It was a comfort also to his brothers and to Israel as a nation. Look again at verse number 26, the final verse there of Genesis chapter 50. It says, so Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. And here we're told that Joseph's body was kept in a coffin, like an Egyptian mummy. And my every time that Israel viewed this coffin, when they were being ill-treated and harshly treated by the Egyptians in their time of bondage, they were encouraged. Why? Because they were reminded by the very sight of this coffin, of the very fact that God's purpose for them one day was that God would visit them in mercy as a people, and he would bring them out of the bondage, out of the servitude of Egypt. And thus when they saw this coffin of Joseph, they were encouraged that their bondage, their servitude would not last. For God had given them a promise that he would visit them. He would bring them up out of the bondage and the servitude of Egypt. And there we see how Joseph's faith, it brought hope in a very dark day for the nation of Israel after Joseph had died. And believer, learn from this, in living the life of faith, you will bring hope. Hope to others. Hope to others who have no hope. By witnessing for Christ, think of what Paul said of the gospel. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Believer, by you living the life of faith and witnessing for the Lord, you can bring hope to others that have no hope, maybe in your family circle, in your workplace, in the community where you live or rub shoulders with other people in society. You can bring hope to those who have no hope. Share the gospel with them and be the means of pointing them to Christ. Also, dear Christian, by living the life of faith, you will bring hope to others in despair, others going through trials and difficulties and burdens in life. And we see this in the life of the Apostle Paul. Turn over to Acts chapter number 27. Acts chapter number 27. You see, faith is never alone. It's like you throwing a stone into a lake. There's ripples. There's always a far-reaching effect by the life of faith. And look at Acts chapter 27. Here we read of Paul. He's on a ship bound for the city of Rome. There's a great storm in the Mediterranean Sea, and such is the ferocity of that storm that all on board, the hardened sailors, thought that they were doomed, that all life was to be taken in the storm. Look at verse 20 there of Acts chapter 27. It says, and neither sun nor stars in many days appeared. There was total darkness, such was the awfulness of the storm for many days. And no small tempest lay on us. Notice that all hope that we should be saved was taken away. You can imagine the scene. Be overcome with fear and concern that the ship was going to go down and all would be lost. But on board the ship there was one man, a man of faith, a man of God, the Apostle Paul. And look at what he says to those on the ship. Look at verse number 22 of the chapter. He says, now I exhort you to be, notice it, of good cheer. Notice the difference. Be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And though God hath given thee all them that sail with thee, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Notice the effect of his witness. He brought cheer when there was no cheer, when there was darkness. And God's word was true. It came to pass. Go down to the very end of the chapter. They were all saved. Yes, the ship was broken up, but not one was lost on board the ship. It says in verse 44, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. And my Paul brought these sailors hope in the midst of an awful storm. And Christian, by you living the life of faith in your workplace, in your family, in your neighborhood, you can bring hope. Hope to those who have no hope, those who are in darkness, those who are dismayed, those who are going through times of trial and difficulty. You can be a help and encouragement to them. And this was the case with Joseph. Something else here to be noted about the effect of his faith. Joseph's faith also was a reproof. It was a reproof to certain Israelites. Look again at the end there of verse 25 of
Genesis chapter 50 says, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from thence. And these words, they were a rebuke to certain Israelites. And there were those amongst the children of Israel, certain Israelites who were tempted to make Egypt their home. They were enticed with the leeks and the garlic and the onions and the welfare, so to speak, of Egypt. They were tempted to make Egypt their home. But now these words of Joseph were a rebuke to them that Egypt was not their home, that they were to set their sights upon Canaan, upon the land of promise, upon the promised land. Again, you think of Joseph. Joseph himself was a man of prosperity in Egypt at this time, a man of position, a man of great possessions, a man of great popularity and prestige, and a man, no doubt, of great power and influence and authority in Egypt. But he knew Egypt was not his home. His sights weren't in Egypt. His sight was on Canaan, the land of promise. And he says, God will surely visit you. Ye shall carry up my bones from thence. And likewise, believer, the life of faith, it reminds you and I that this world is not our home. All the things of this world are but fleeting possessions of time. Rather, our home is heaven. And my heaven is God's promised possession, promised inheritance for all God's redeemed people. And this is what you and I are to keep our eyes upon as we go through this life and through this scene of time. The Bible says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affection, the Bible says, on things above. Joseph's affection was not upon Egypt. It was upon the promised land. And our affection is not to be upon this world. This is a fleeting world, a temporal world, a transitory world. Our affection is to be upon heaven. The hymn writer says, there's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith, they say, I can see it afar. And by faith, Joseph saw the land of promise afar off. Notice something else here about the effect of his faith. Joseph's faith, it influenced others to do the will of God. It influenced others to do the will of God. Even long after he himself had died, even hundreds of years after he had died and left this scene of time, yes, hundreds of years later after he died, Joseph's command to take his bones out of Egypt into the land of Canaan was obeyed. Obeyed by others to the last detail. To the last letter. Turn over there to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. And this is the Passover chapter when Israel were brought out of Egypt the night of the Passover lamb. And it was hundreds of years after, 300 to 400 years after Joseph had died. And God now was bringing his promise to pass. He was bringing Israel out of Egypt to the promised land. And look at verse 19 of Exodus chapter 14. Here you see how Joseph's faith had an effect upon Moses, that great servant of God. For look at what it says in verse 19. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. Long after Joseph was gone, his faith was speaking and living on and affecting others. Turn over to Joshua chapter 24, the final chapter of Joshua. The children of Israel have been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, and now we see the coming into the promised land. Joshua now has died, but still God's will is being obeyed and his command is being carried out in connection with Joseph and his bones. Look at verse 32 of Joshua chapter 24. Notice what it says. It says, and the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem in a parcel of ground which Jacob brought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. There you have it, many, many years later. The witness of Joseph's faith was living on and was affecting others.
In the book of Proverbs, it says this, the memory of the just is blessed. And dear believer, if you and I are to be a blessing to our families, a blessing to our children, a blessing to our grandchildren, a blessing to our future generations and the will of God, a blessing to our neighbors, our country, our land, and our nation. We can be that blessing, dear Christian, by living out the life of faith. Because living the life of faith has a far, far reaching effect. And God has promised to bless the witness of the faith of His people for generations to come. Because the Bible says the memory of the just is blessed. Notice one final thing this morning. Notice the declaration of Joseph's faith. Turn over there to Hebrews chapter 11, where our text is found. Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse number 22. It says, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. This is God's final word on the life of his servant Joseph. This is, if you like, God's epitaph to Joseph. This is God's tribute to Joseph, and he declares him very plainly, very evidently there to be a man of faith. He says, by Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. The last thing that God says about Joseph in his word is that Joseph was a man of faith. Back in Genesis chapter 50, we're told there that Joseph died at the age of 110 years. He lived a relatively long life. And the Bible shows us that from his early age, and the scriptures really take up and Joseph, when he was 17 years of age, and the scriptures really show us from his early years, right until the end of his earthly life, to the end of those 110 years, Joseph's life was marked by faith. What a testimony. It was all due to the grace of God in his life. Yes, Joseph, no doubt, could say with the Apostle Paul, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And it was a life that pleased God. The Bible shows us that. Turn back there to Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse number 6. Look at what you read there. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. That's God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Joseph was a man of faith. Therefore, his life brought great pleasure to the Lord. It pleased God. Though there was many ungodly around him, in the midst of the ungodliness of Egypt, there was one man who stood out for God. And he pleased God by his faith. My speaking of the heroes of faith here in Hebrews chapter 11, and including Joseph, the Bible says this, these all died in faith. And these all having obtained a good report, the Bible says, through faith, at the end of his earthly life, Joseph received a good report from God, a well done from God. His life was such that he received the applause and the well done of God, and the applause and the well done of heaven. And people, really, that's all that matters for you and I in life. Not to have the applause of men, not to have the applause of the world, but to have the applause of God and the well done of heaven upon our life at the end of life's journey. I remember a number of years ago, I was at a service marking the retirement of a Christian teacher, and she had been a faithful teacher in the school where she taught, and had been a faithful witness for the Lord, and that event marking her retirement was packed by people, children, past pupils, many parents and family members from that locality where she had labored in the school, and she was bright for the Lord, and she spoke for the Lord in her retirement function, and she said these words, and I never forgot them. She says, you know, there's three opinions of your life and my life. There's what others think about us. There's what we think of ourselves. But then she says the most important is this, what God thinks of us.
what God thinks of her life. And people, as God looks upon our gathering here today, as he looks into your heart and my heart, what does he see? Tell me today, what does he see? As he looks into your heart, does he see a life of no faith? In other words, you're still unsaved, no faith, no hope, no pardon for sin, bound for a lost eternity in hell. And friend, if this is your case, I urge you now today to repent of your sin, to flee to Christ and to trust him as your own and personal Savior. It is only by faith in Christ's sacrifice alone that you can be saved and right with God forevermore. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." But on the other hand, as God looks into your life and my life, does he see faith today? Is that what he sees? Even maybe just the size of a little mustard seed, which is one of the smallest of seeds that there is. He sees faith in your heart and life in his Son for salvation. Well, believer, thank God today for such a faith. Your faith, yes, may be young. Your faith, yes, may be weak. It may be sorely tried and tested, dear believer. But remember this, the Bible says, "He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." And God says in his word regarding Christ, he says this, "A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench." Dear Christian, if you're young in the faith or older in the faith, I encourage you today as you go on in your Christian life to pray. And to pray daily as the disciples prayed. And what did they pray? In Luke 17, verse 5, "Lord, increase our faith, strengthen our faith." And dear believer, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. As you pray for yourself, as you pray for your fellow Christian in this church and other believers that you know, pray that the Lord would increase our faith. And we're not talking words here. We're not talking mere cliches here. We're talking about realities. Something that God is able to do in the life of his children, in the life of the church. Or what did Paul say about the church at Thessalonica? He says, thank God, he says, that your faith, he says, groweth exceedingly. There was an advancing, a growing, a going on with God in their faith. It's very interesting to note here that the name of Joseph, what does the name Joseph mean? In the Old Testament language, the name of Joseph literally means increase. God increased him and blessed him. And dear believer, as the Lord increased Joseph's faith, dear believer in Christ, the Lord is able to increase your faith, to strengthen your faith unto that perfect day when faith will give way to sight and you'll see Christ in all his glory and all his splendor in heaven itself. We'll close our meeting with a word of prayer. We'll just look to the Lord and ask for his blessing upon his word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee, O God, for the record of Joseph and his faith in Scripture. We realize it is all due to the grace of God and his life. We thank that thou hast given this record for our example and for our admonition as believers and as Christians. And Lord, just help us to walk in his footsteps. Lord, increase our faith, strengthen our faith. Every one of us who are saved in this meeting, young or old, we thank thee for each one that has faith in Christ. Lord, bless your people. Strengthen our faith. Build us up in our most holy faith. Help us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of thy might as we seek to live for thee day by day. And for any in our gathering today unsaved and have no faith in their heart, have no hope, and Lord, have no salvation, Lord, speak to them. Father, we pray that even today they'll take that step of faith by thy grace and trust Christ, whom to know is life eternal. Bless us, Lord, as we get round the table of the Lord, as we remember Calvary, what Christ has done for us. Lord, bless all who will stay, and for any who cannot, give them traveling mercies. Speak on, we beseech of thee. Return us again in thy will this evening hour, we pray. For we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen and amen. We're going to close our meeting this morning. We're singing together the hymn number 396 in your hymn book. 396, Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. We'll stand as we sing this hymn after the singing of the first verse. I'd be going to the door. If you cannot stay for the Lord's table, we encourage you then to leave after the singing of the first verse. We'll be there to greet you. But if you are able to stay, we encourage as many as possible to wait behind and remember the Lord's death in his own appointed way. 396, we'll stand as we sing.